Hi, welcome to
Tradition!
And welcome to episode 15 of Traditions. We've been gone for a while. COVID has wreaked havoc on just about everything and everybody for the past couple of years. I'd be remiss if I didn't share a few words and thoughts about the strife sweeping our world in the form of COVID-19 and its variants. Assigning blame serves no purpose. Criticizing the response is equally pointless. What demands attention is the suffering and heartache visited upon so many. Also commanding attention is the selfless nature of the response by so many who, despite their own potential danger, have stepped forward to do what's necessary to prevent contamination and provide care and comfort to those afflicted. Our thoughts and prayers are with all mankind these days in the hope of stemming the tide of this scourge, alleviating the suffering of so many, and with the faith of eventual prevention and a cure. Regardless of your religious convictions, we pray for your happiness, safety, and good health. Now we're returning with a special episode and format. From episode 14 in Mexico, we're going to move westward all the way across the Pacific Ocean to the breathtaking romance of the Philippine Islands. The Philippine archipelago was originally settled thousands of years ago by a people called the Negritos. The Polynesians followed, and ultimately the islands became populated with tribal peoples led by chieftains. Spanish colonization began with the arrival of Miguel López de Legazpi's Mexican expedition in February of 1565, who established the first permanent settlement in Cebu. Eventually, much of the archipelago came under Spanish rule, creating the first unified political structure known as the Philippines. This Spanish dominance ended in 1898 with Spain's defeat in the Spanish-American War, when the Philippines became a territory of the United States. The U.S. established an insular government to rule the islands, and in 1907, the elected Philippine Assembly was set up by popular elections. With the Jones Act of 1917, the U.S. promised independence to the Filipinos. The Philippine Commonwealth was established in 1935 as a 10-year interim step prior to full independence. However, between 1942 and 1945, during World War II, Japan occupied the islands. The occupiers were overpowered by the U.S. military in 1945, and the Treaty of Manila established the Independent Philippine Republic in July 1946. Having been controlled by several different races, modern Filipinos are unquestionably a blend of these various cultures. Thus, Filipinos developed a diverse set of values in the modern world. Family relationships are the basic building block of the culture and society. Each Filipino is at the center of a large circle of relatives, usually extending to third cousins. And marriage is rarely permitted for members of the same kinship circle. This kinship circle is customarily enlarged through ritual co-parenthood, the Catholic custom of selecting godparents to sponsor one's child at baptism. In these close-knit Filipino families, members are provided assistance when needed and expected to give their first loyalty to their kin. In rural areas, the villages contain clusters of households supporting this extended family system. The social support provided by these close-knit communities is reflected in the absence of retirement homes among the islands. The attitude of Filipino people towards foreigners and travelers is exceptional. Even the humblest home along the road can serve as a shelter for a stranger who has lost his way. In the culture, serving other people the best of what they have gives the household an honor and a promise of true friendship. A typical Filipino house is not completely called a home without a facility ready for guests, filled with new and nice-looking items reserved only for those guests, while ordinary items are for everyday use. Now we're going to take a short break to pay the bills, after which we're going to look into Filipino wedding traditions with my very special guest.
Today's show is brought to you by Your Special Day, a non-denominational wedding officiant service located in Palm Harbor, Florida. Your Special Day offers small, intimate weddings where the ceremony is crafted especially for you and approved by you well in advance of your day. Eloping? Destination wedding? No time to plan? Florida is renowned for its beautiful beaches, and waterfront ceremonies are common all up and down the coast. But special county permits apply. We're familiar with the regulations and happy to help. Bring us your dreams. We'll help make them reality. From custom-written ceremonies to writing your own vows, we're here to make your special day truly special indeed. Visit our website at www.your-special-day.net or call 727-533-5433 today for more information about our service, pricing, and availability. Call 727-533-5433. Call now. Good. The bills are paid for another month. Now back to our show.
And I'm most pleased to welcome my daughter-in-law, Rosanna Cruz Martinez Davis, born in the States of purely Filipino lineage. We know her as Rosie. Welcome, Rosie.
Hi, Papa. I am so excited to be here with you on your podcast. Your listeners might not know this, but we've been kind of crafting this and talking about this very special episode for quite some time. So as I was sitting here listening to your introduction, I was thinking that I should also say that I don't ever claim to be a expert on the knowledge that we have here of what we're going to talk about today. But I am really excited to share some of the culture that I know about and that I've learned about with you today and with your listeners.
And I've been looking forward to it too. As I mentioned just before the break, Filipino culture, similar to others that we visited in the Pacific Basin, exhibits a profound respect for the extended family. One of the manifestations of this esteem is found in their naming culture or naming customs. As we paged through your parents' wedding album, I noticed a beautiful custom of respect reflected in younger members of the family taking the hand of an esteemed elder and touching it to their forehead. Please tell me more about this.
Well, that custom was ingrained in me since I was very little. Being fortunate enough to have my grandmother present with me ever since I was born, she lived with us for quite some time until I was at least 18. That was always a custom in our household. Even coming home from a day of school, I would greet my grandmother, take her hand, and put it to my forehead. And that was a sign of a mano, or a sign of respect for the elders in our family. So it wasn't extended just to my grandparents. It was to anybody who was an elder in our family. So even today, when I go home to my family in Illinois, that custom is still very alive, still there today.
I love it. I love it. I think it's beautiful. Another example that's always intrigued me is the naming customs of the Filipino culture. We've talked about your name, Rosanna Cruz Martinez Davis, and both your sons share your maiden name, Martinez, as their middle name. Tell us some more about this.
So with my name, my mother and my grandmother, of course, always told me how important it was not to forget. where I came from and my roots. So that is where my name comes from. So the Cruz, after Rosanna Cruz, is my mother's maiden name, and my two siblings share that middle name as well. So it's funny to think about, but we have the same initials, RCM. All of us have the same one, and I pass that on as well to my sons. So both of my sons have my maiden name as their middle name, Martinez Davis. It's interesting because it gives that sort of Spanish flair, coupled with a very Americanized last name of Davis. So it does bring up some questions sometimes, but it makes it more interesting, I think.
Oh, I agree. I will never forget the night Garrett, the older son, was born, and Troy came to gather the family, and he stepped into the waiting room, and he says, "Garrett Martinez Davis." And I thought, boy, I'll never forget that night. More of the research I've done says the Philippines, being roughly 80% Catholic, finds Filipino wedding traditions heavily influenced by the church, or perhaps it might be the other way around, and the church is influenced by the cultural customs. Is that still true of the Republic today?
I think it is very true. It is very much of a give and take relationship. And you can see that when you are in a Catholic church and they have a very strong Filipino presence and a Filipino community there. So they very much believe in those traditions that are brought forth with our Catholic upbringing. And they too are always very, very willing, to share the Filipino customs with the whole congregation.
What are some of these traditions that would interest our audience?
I think some of those traditions have to do with family and sharing, and of course, prayer, and how important daily prayer is to the central unit of your family. So growing up, and I'm not sure that I ever told you this, Pop, I'm just thinking of it now. Growing up, we said the rosary every day as a family. Every day, the entire time that I was that I was living in my home, whoever was home, we stopped what we were doing and we all gathered together to say the rosary. And for those of you who might not know how long that takes, it's about 15 to 20 minutes. If you're doing it routinely, it could take longer, yeah. Definitely. But even when we were on vacation, it was certainly important to us to do that. So that's something that I still do today, even when I'm by myself. So I think that's a huge part of that Catholic culture that's still within me. And I know it's very strong with any of the Filipino Catholics that I know.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. I was not aware of that. Excuse me. Having known you for over 20 years, I know the high value the Filipino culture places on the extended family. Tell us a little bit about the custom of wedding sponsors.
So wedding sponsors are people who you would look up to very much, like you said before, as godparents. So they would be the people that you would look up to for spiritual guidance, certainly for any kind of guidance. Monetary or otherwise, and even just a confidence. And I can speak to that in my own experience, having my sister and my brother being sponsors at my wedding, as opposed to them standing up as bridesmaids or groomsmen. And we also had very close relatives of ours be sponsors as well. So people who are long members of our family, who they themselves have very successful marriages as well. So to me, it seemed also as if they were blessing us with their success too. But very special to have my brother and my sister play that part.
I remember your wedding very vividly that day. When it comes to dress for the bride and the groom, the traditional forms of dress for them, did they vary from those we find in the States?
Well, speaking from experience, I did go to the Philippines with my father one time long ago after graduating college, and we attended a full-blown Filipino wedding. So And that was before my own, of course. But their dress was certainly unbelievable. It was stylish and also very traditional as well. So the tops that the men wear, and their tops that I had seen my father wear time and time and again, the Barong Tagalog. So it's a very thin material made out of pineapple fiber. And as an American going to these receptions, I think the first thing that came to my mind is how transparent and see-through these were. So to get over that, because you're seeing an undershirt directly through, but once you actually get up closer to it, the pattern and the detail in it is really just beautiful. So a lot of those same patterns and the detail are also in the gowns and the clothing worn by the families.
I remember as we looked through your parents' wedding album, seeing the, I can't even pronounce it, whatever it was called that your father was wearing. It was indeed very beautiful. And what struck me is it looked a little bit like it was pretty much the same fabric that was used in your mother's wedding gown. And I just thought it was just phenomenally pretty. Several of the countries we've already visited are renowned for their extended wedding celebrations, often lasting through the night into the following day. I've heard it suggested that multi-day receptions are not unusual in the islands. Is this a fact?
It was for the wedding that I was a part of when I was there. In fact, the celebrations began quite a few days before the actual wedding. And of course, that just comes with the drawing of family together. As people would arrive and people would come together, it's always about eating, of course. So it was always about sharing a meal together. And the Filipinos laugh a lot. They are very happy people, and they like to laugh and they like to eat. So those receptions were very much a part of sharing that joy with all the family as they got together.
I've seen a lot of what you mentioned there. Of course, you are one of the happiest people that I know. But I have had the opportunity to come in contact with many Filipinos right here in the Tampa area. And what you say I've noticed is that they are very cheerful. They're just a pleasure to be around. Is it true, as a part of the pre-ceremony ritual, that the priest may draw a drop of blood from both the bride and the groom?
Well, I can't say that I witnessed that particular pre-ceremony ritual. However, when we were talking about it, it certainly brought up that superstitiousness that is a part of the Filipino culture. And I can remember my grandmother, of course, everyday life had to do with some superstition, you know, whether it was, you know, whistling in the evening or using a broom in the evening or throwing coins at a house blessing, all different things that were related to superstitions, either for good luck or possibly, you know, avoiding bad luck.
What other interesting customs and possibly superstitions are found in the Philippines?
Well, one of the things that we didn't mention when we were talking about the sponsors is that there are sets of sponsors. So one of those sponsors are their coin sponsors. So they bring up coins as a way to symbolize the bride and the groom coming together in their fortune. Now, in some ceremonies, the priest is also a part of that as well to symbolize the union, not only with the bride and the groom, but also with the Lord present in their relationship. So with the coins, there are 13 pieces of gold or silver that are shared between the bride and the groom. So I know you were at our ceremony. Ours were definitely gold in that case. And then another set of sponsors are the cord sponsors. So I know we talked about this and how the cord in our wedding ceremony was also made of coins. So the cord is an infinity symbol that is draped over you by your cord sponsors in a symbol of the infinite relationship that you have. And of course, in the Catholic Church, the Lord is always there as well. It's not just between the bride and the groom. So I think the third set of sponsors that we didn't talk about were the veil sponsors. So the veil, of course, goes on prior to the coins. The veil goes on as, again, to symbolize that you are underneath God's care together with your partner.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. One of the traditions that's very common in the States is what's called the candle ceremony. And I noticed during my research that there is a version of the wedding candle in the Filipino culture, but it's kind of smacks a little bit of some of this superstition again.
And that wedding candle ritual, we did it at our wedding as well. We had both my father and Sue light a candle, the candle for us, and we lit the unity candle. But as part of that Filipino superstition, and luckily it wasn't a breezy day, but and we were indoors, luckily, but it is said that if those candles are blown out, that is sort of a premonition or a superstition that that person might die before the other, depending on which candle goes
out. Oh, my goodness. I want to come back to the cord or the coins. Excuse me for a moment. That chain of coins, I never realized that it was in the shape of an infinity symbol. I knew it went around both the bride and the groom. But is that a keepsake item that then goes to the bride and groom, or is it a family heirloom that gets passed down to them, or how is that looked upon in the culture?
Well, it's funny that you should mention the figure eight portion, because I didn't realize that either until I received my own cord that was ordered for me, especially from the Philippines. So I didn't realize how it went on, but it made sense that it was the infinity figure eight symbol. But that chain of coins is something that was made, like I said, especially for our ceremony, and it is something that we would be able to pass on for our sons as well and keep it in the family.
Wow. Wow. There's a few other interesting ones that I came across on, and I'll just mention them if you want to expand upon them all. But it said, for example, you never buy anything sharp like kitchen knives or scissors for the couple, and that it is actually considered good luck if it rains on your wedding day.
And it did rain a little bit on our wedding day. I remember thinking that same thing and thinking that it was good luck.
Well, it certainly has been for you and Troy. And don't, you know, please don't drop the ring.
That actually reminds me of a story that Sue likes to tell. When Troy asked me to marry him, we got engaged at court, of course, at the top of the Ferris wheel at Navy Pier in Chicago. And she always tells the story that Troy was so nervous that he was going to drop the ring when we were at the top, and he was asking. But luckily, that didn't happen, and there were no rings that were dropped.
I've heard that story, but I never made the connection. I just thought, you know, what a horrible place to drop the ring from that high up. You'd never find it, particularly out on Navy Pier.
Absolutely.
As I was doing this research, I didn't make that connection there.
Happy to say I still have the ring still on.
Oh, well, you know.
Very safe.
And we're very happy for that, too. And, you know, the last one, and it's interesting. You see this often in all cultures.
where the groom will approach the bride's father and ask his permission for his daughter's hand in marriage.
Yes, that was a must have.
Did Troy ask Lolo?
Yes, he did. He did. And of course, being his youngest daughter and first to be married, we had never done any of this before. So I think that my father was probably just as nervous as Troy was. But Troy did ask. And of course, he won my father's winning approval.
Outstanding. We're so happy for that. Well, that pretty well wraps it up for episode 15 of Traditions. I sincerely hope you've enjoyed these insights into marriage customs often encountered in the Republic of the Philippines. Today's discussion has been made particularly special by my guest and daughter-in-law, Rosanna Cruz Martinez Davis. Thank you, Rosie, for taking the time to be here today and sharing your insights into the traditions of the Philippines.
That was my pleasure. As always, Papa, we've been talking about it for so long, so it's good to actually get it done and to spend the time with you. I've really enjoyed it.
I have too. Thanks so much.
That's Traditions for today, sponsored by Your Special Day, a non-denominational wedding officiant service based in Palm Harbor, Florida. For more information about Your Special Day, visit their website at www.your-special-day.net. I invite your thoughts and comments on today's show, or any show from the past, or what you might suggest for the future. Email your comments and suggestions to tom@your-special-day.net. I also encourage you to subscribe to this and all future episodes by clicking on the subscribe button where you launched this podcast. While you're there, please also click on the thumbs up like button. It really helps contribute to the success of these efforts. I'm Tom Hirsch. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay tuned.
Today's show is brought to you by Your Special Day, a non-denominational wedding officiant service located in Palm Harbor, Florida. Your Special Day offers small, intimate weddings where the ceremony is crafted especially for you and approved by you well in advance of your day. Eloping? Destination wedding? No time to plan? Florida is renowned for its beautiful beaches, and waterfront ceremonies are common all up and down the coast. But special county permits apply. We're familiar with the regulations and happy to help. Bring us your dreams. We'll help make them reality. From custom written ceremonies to writing your own vows, we're here to make your special day truly special indeed. Visit our website at www.your-special-day.net or call 727-533-5433 today for more information about our service, pricing, and availability. Call 727-533-5433. Call now.